Welcome to Adult Sunday School, and for the next few weeks, we are going to be looking at the topic of thanksgiving or thankfulness. Thanksgiving or thankfulness. And our theme verse is going to be found in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, if you want to turn there. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. This is a theme verse. I encourage you, if you don't know this verse already, get to know it. It's very important. It's who we are, all right? This is something that was encouraged, an encouragement to the believer. And it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God." So this is something that we need to get a grasp of giving thanks. And we are going to be talking about thanksgiving for the whole duration of Sunday school. And some may be thinking, how can he possibly be talking about thanksgiving for four whole weeks? Well, we're not. We're going to do it in 5 weeks, okay? So it's not possible to do it in four. So, and if you didn't get anything out of the next 5 weeks, at least at the end of this course in 5 weeks, you'll be thankful that the course is over. Okay? So we're going to be looking at thanksgiving. And the 1 Thessalonians 5:8, the Easy Living Translation says, "In most things give thanks." Okay? That's the Cozy Christianity translation. But we are going to stick with the ESV, the NLT, the King James Version, where it says, "In everything give thanks." Give thanks, all right? If you want to flip on over to Romans 8, we can see that it's very possible, you know, to have this attitude of thanksgiving all the time, in every situation, in every circumstance, with anyone that ever comes across our path. And in Romans 8 and verse 28, it says, we know the scripture, and it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, that love God, to them that who are called according to his purposes." So because everything will work together for good for those that love the Lord, for the believers, they can give thanks in everything. In everything. No matter if it's a loss of a job or a loss of a loved one, or maybe someone cut you off on the road, you know? Give thanks to the Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. May you be blessed with many camels. And I'll give thanks to the Lord. Because he can turn that and use it for good in your life. I mean, either you can become thankful or you can become bitter. And I think the Lord wants us to become a thankful people. A people that, you know, don't harbor bitterness in their heart, but are overflowing with thanksgiving. As we'll see later on, be exceedingly, exceedingly thankful before him. All right, and if even scroll down even more in verse 31 of chapter 8 of Romans, it says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" So you see, the scripture is this, it's reassuring itself. We can give thanks in everything because God works everything for our good. And nothing can come against God and stand. So we can truly give thanks to the Lord in that. The Bible is filled with verses on thanksgiving. From the very beginning to the end, it's filled with verses on thanksgiving. It talks about being thankful from the time we wake up to the time we go to sleep. I don't know about you, but usually when I wake up, I'm like, oh, here we are. I was listening to two younger men earlier talking about how they, age and how they experience. Just earlier, a few minutes, they're smiling right now, how their age is and how they feel is a result of things they've done in the past. It's like, I feel a little of that right now. I'm a whole 34 years old, so I'm, you know, feeling some of that youthful action that I've done. But still, we can wake up in the morning and give thanks to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I woke up. Thank you, Lord. You've given me another opportunity, you know, to reach out to others, to serve you, to love my family, to embrace those that are around me. Thank you, Lord. You know, and even when you go to bed, oh, thank you, Lord, that's over. You know, and you know, I often hear such a sad saying, I'm glad that day's over with. I'm glad that day's over with. Well, that's a bad attitude. It really is. I mean, we can, you know, thank you, Lord, this was a really tough day. And I understand that, you know, from my perspective, it was seemed like the worst day that eternity could have possibly given me. But you work all things together for good. You're teaching me something in this situation. May what you have to teach me go in, because I don't want to do this day again. And just go to sleep. Go lay down with a head of thanksgiving and not a heart of bitterness. We want to be a person that's overflowing in thanksgiving. One point I want to bring out is being thankful is a choice. It's a choice, okay? In Leviticus 22 and 29, we see that a thankful heart is something that you choose to have. It's something that comes out of you, out of your own will. And it says in Leviticus 22 and 29, and when we will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, offer it at your own will, at your own free will. You can't force someone to be thankful, can you? I can train my children up and teach them to have good manners. When I give them something, say thank you. Thank you. When they do kindness to others, or someone does kindness to them, you can teach them, say thank you, and you're welcome. You know, and Christians, we can have good manners. We can be on the outward, looking thankful. Thank you very much. God bless you. It's so good to see you. Oh my gosh, they're visiting today. Oh, did I say that out loud? You know, we can appear to be thankful on the outside. But true thanksgiving is something that you do. It comes from within you. It's a choice. And I want to look at how that true thanksgiving comes out of us. You know, one day I wish my children would just naturally, you know, oh, thank you so much. And I love it when I do something for my kids and I don't tell them to say thank you. And my son would be like, Dad, I just wanted to say, it took about 10 minutes for this. I'm like, oh, finally, you know, I just want to say thank you so much for, you know, what you've done for us earlier. It means a lot to me. And I really, I know it costs a lot of money. Everything's about Josh, dollars and cents, right? And I was like, wow, this must have cost a lot of money. So if you ever give Joshua anything, don't be offended. It's just dollars and cents in his head. He's going to be a financial agent probably when he gets older. At last birthday party we had, he just, instead of saying thank you, he'd be like, wow, this must have cost a lot of money. Every gift he opened, I'm like, oh, please don't open up a cheap gift. Oh, so you see that from in him, you know, that's, you can see the thanksgiving being cultivated and cultivated. He just doesn't know how to, you know, how to bring it out in words just yet. And that's where, you know, parenting comes in place, is to train them up, you know, to show how to be thankful. And hopefully it flows freely as they get older. Oh, parenting is such a joyful experience. Amen. So you can't force someone to be thankful. This is something that comes from within them. And we need to realize that genuine thanksgiving is bound up in trust. Speaking in reference to giving thanks to the Lord. It's bound up in trust. And we'll never truly thank the Lord until we truly come to trust Him. Until we come to that place where we truly trust God. And we'll never be grateful to God for all that He's done in our lives until we recognize and until we are dependent on Him in a full measure as well. Now, by the way that the Lord's created us, you know, we have that tendency to want to stay alive, right? We have a self-preservation tendency. We want life. If we didn't want life, we would seek death, right? We would have people committing suicide all the time. It'd just be completely natural. But no, we want to stay alive. It's the way the Lord has created us. We're creatures that way. And, you know, creatures of necessity, I guess you can say. You know, we tend to take matters on our own hands, and we tend to want to fix things ourselves. We call them DIYers. I think there's a TV show on it right now, like DIY, do-it-yourself, do-it-yourselfers, all right? But we want to be those that trust the Lord. Those that, don't trust Him in the areas where it's too difficult for us. Where we're forced to trust the Lord. And like, oh, this is out of my control. I got to turn to God. This is way out of my control. So I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to see Him move, and I'm going to be so thankful that He moved. But we want to be thankful to, or we want to trust the Lord in the areas where it is in our control as well, and give that to Him. It's called being dependent on God. 100% dependent on God. Not independent here and dependent there, but being fully dependent on God. See, we want to come to Him, not just when the problems are beyond our control, but the rest of the time as well. And going back to the do-it-yourselfers, you know, it's like, oh, I got this, God. I understand. I've been down this road before. It's like, I'll do this and that, and this problem will be fixed. And I'm a mechanic, and there's a lot of DIYers, do-it-yourselfers, that come in, and they have tried working on their car. And they have almost succeeded. But in their tryings and their efforts to gain, they have lost this battle. And typically, they end up having the car towed to me, which costs them more in the end. And then I, myself, get this vehicle that has been tampered with, as I would say, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I gotta fix this. Would have been so much easier if they would have just brought it to me the first time when it initially broke. And now I don't have to deal with this mess. And sometimes I think God feels like that baby is like, oh, will you just bring me your problems to begin with instead of trying to fix it yourself? And then you find yourself in a bigger mess than you would have if you would have just brought it to God, brought those things to the Lord and trusted Him in those areas. If we can solve the problems by ourselves, if we can solve issues without prayer and seeking the Lord and trusting in Him, then there would be no genuine thanksgiving to the Lord. Would there? If someone went and they fixed their own brakes, which is perfectly fine, I'm okay with that, and they fixed their own brakes and they got their car going, do you think they would come to me afterwards and say, thank you so much, I fixed my brakes? No, that wouldn't make sense. But somebody that would take their car to me and trust me to do a repair on their vehicle, trust me to take care of and to fasten their wheels and to set their air pressures and to make sure their car is ready to go. And they say, thank you so much. I know that they are truly thankful. I know that they are truly thankful because they put their trust in me to do that. And we want that genuine thanksgiving coming from us to the Lord, saying, thank you so much, God. You have a headache? Lord, I just have this headache right now. I pray that you just take it away and or even just get me through this. I give it to you right now. And when it goes away, it's like, oh, thank you, Lord. So many times I went to bed with this, I felt like just a pounding headache, and I felt like the world was just crushing my brain. And I wake up, I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, I can breathe again. Have you ever been so sick before? It's like, oh, you know, I'm really crying out to God. It's like, and you're coming out of it and you're just thanking the Lord. Well, that's genuine thanksgiving because you depend and you trusted in the Lord. You reached out to Him. And you're truly thankful in His hand in your life. God doesn't want that just when we have a pounding headache. Perhaps even when we stub our toe. Instead of bouncing around, grunting a bunch of curse words, saying, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. For some reason, this toe is, oh, I know why it's in pain right now, but you know, I was on a trip coming home. Where is it coming from? I can't remember. But it happened that I was stumbling across delay after delay, and I got delayed in traffic. And like, come on, this is ridiculous. I just need to get where I'm going. It's the worst thing in the world when, you know, you're driving and it's like, my GPS says there, I'm going to get there at 5:32. I'm going to make it 5:15. All right. I'm sure we've all done that before. Okay. So, and next, you know, you're sitting in traffic and you're watching that clock go 5:34, 5:35, 5:50. I'm like, what? 5:50? How did you jump? So, and you know, I'm sitting there. I'm like, I can't believe this. I just need to go. I'm getting tired. I want to shut my eyes. I got no one here in the passenger seat to tell me it's moving again. And I go around the turn. And there was a tree laying in the road. I was four or five cars away from where a tree was laying in the road. That means a tree fell 4 or 5 cars in front of me. Now, if I wasn't delayed further back, I could have been under that tree. And I was like, I'm going by, I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord, you know? And then 5 miles down the road is detoured again. I'm like, are you kidding me? Oh, here we go again. And I'm like, oh, wait a second. Lord, it could be, you know, detouring me for a reason, you know, and find out there was another accident further up ahead. The Lord again could have been protecting me, you know, but so many times we end up like the tribe of Israel in the wilderness, just complaining. Well, last time I checked in the Bible, I could be wrong, the Lord never brings somebody through a trial and lets them graduate when they're bitter. It's a thankful people that comes out. It's a thankful people that graduates. It's a thankful people that the Lord takes further on. The bitter people, stuck right there. Stuck right there. We want to be a thankful people. And when we come to the end of ourselves and cast ourselves onto the Lord and be completely, totally dependent on Him, that's when we can experience genuine praise, genuine thanksgiving. It will just come out of us naturally. And we want that. I'm not saying we need to put on a show or anything like that, and we need to have smiles on our face all the time. But when you're worship leading, you need to praise Him, praise Him, praise Him in the morning, praise Him in, praise Him all day long. You want it to flow out of you. I'm not saying you're like, you know, you need to, you know, be danced around like that and jumping up and down. But you want to come out of you naturally. See, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We want that. To be awakened. It really starts being genuine thankfulness in salvation. Thanking the Lord. Day in and day out. Thank you, God. You know, there was nothing that any of us did in this place to deserve salvation. Nothing. Not one thing. You were a sinner just like the person beside you. There's nothing in us. It's simply put, we received a gift of eternal life. We received it. And when was the last time you said thank you? Thank you, Lord. No, thank you. If we lose sight of that, lose sight of the very foundation of what our house is built on, it's a scary thing to think about. And perhaps we've come to a point to where we don't even consider salvation. It was like, oh, well, those are just, you know, that's the thing of the past. That's the thing we're built on. Thanking the Lord. If you can't think of anything to thank the Lord about when you wake up, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you saved me. Thank you, Lord. You know, Ephesians 2 and 8 through 9, it says, for by grace you are saved through faith, that none of yourself, that not of yourself is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's nothing, it's a grace, it's by grace through faith. It's a gift from God. Be thankful for that gift. Show the Lord thanksgiving. Say, thank you, Lord. I recognize, Lord, that I am unable to do this. I am unable to attain eternal life without you, without the price you paid. We cannot come to a place where we think we deserve salvation. We can't come to a place where we think that it's owed to us. That's a millennial way of thinking. We're not millennials here. All right? We're believers. We're people that walk according to the Word of God. And the Word of God says that it is a gift of God. We don't deserve it. And if you don't deserve something, have you ever received a gift from somebody and you think you didn't deserve it, or it was just, wow, this is too much. Wow. And you were like ecstatic. You know, like, well, thank you so much. This is amazing. Wow. It's like, this is, wow, that's all I got coming out of me right now. Thanks, big hug, pat on the back for guys, squeeze for girls. You know, the Lord wants that coming from us with the salvation, the gift of salvation that He has given us. Again, one who trusts in the Lord or is dependent on Him is one who is fully, as full of thanksgiving. We cannot come to a place where we think that we have gained our salvation, where we think it is owed to us, but be dependent on the Lord and thank Him day in and day out for this awesome gift He has given. Second, thanking God for His continual presence and power in our life. For His presence and His continual power in our life. Salvation, that's just the beginning. That's not the end. There are some churches where that's all they speak on is salvation, salvation, salvation. And that's not it. That's where it starts. That's just the beginning. That's like running a race. And you start behind the beginning mark, right? You don't start on the starting line. You don't start afford the starting line. You start behind the starting line, right? Salvation is the starting line. And boom, off. Ah, woo, race is over. That's not it. The finish line is way ahead. It's way ahead. There's one time I was running a 50-yard dash. And I started, and I sprinted out like you're supposed to kick off. And I was halfway through. And I was ahead. And I heard my name announced. I won the long jump, and I heard the number come out, and I beat my record, and I was so excited. I'm running like, yeah! My coach is like, put your arms down! Put your arms down! He's yelling at me. I'm like, oh, it's good! Because I put my arms up, and it slowed me down. I lost by a fraction of a second because I got distracted. A fraction of a second because I got distracted. My coach was not happy with me. Oh, I'm like, all right, yeah. You know, just as someone's like right beside me, I'm like, and he's yelling, I'm like, oh no. And no matter how much I kicked, and you know, there was consequence there. There was. And sometimes there is consequence in our lives because we get distracted. But we need to keep pressing on. I didn't give up. I put my arms back down and I pushed as hard as I can to the rest of the way. I didn't come in third, I didn't come in fourth, I came in second, yes. But just because you missed first doesn't mean it's over. It means you keep pressing as hard as you can until you pass that finish line. So salvation is just the beginning. He is with us, His presence is with us, His power is with us, He wants to help us. As my coach was screaming on the sidelines, the Holy Spirit is saying, put your arms down! He's there. And He's given us His word. In ourselves, we don't have the strength. We don't have the strength that we need to live the way God wants us to live. I can't remember what scripture it is. I apologize. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Right? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So you see, it is the continual presence of God in our lives that enables us to continue on. Because faith is instituted by God. God is the one that brings faith into our hearts. God brings faith. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. We can see that God, that He works in us here. And it just, again, brings the point home that we have nothing in ourselves. We do not have the strength we need to live according to the ways of the Lord, but we need His strength. We need His presence. And it says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So it's God that's working in us. Simply put, we need to be obedient to the working of God in our lives. That's our part, is being obedient to God's work in our lives. He's the one taking us onward. He's the one that's leading us. When we think that we have it in our own hands and we're leading ourselves, and, oh, God, this is the way I want to go, you know, we'll find ourselves with our arms in the air in a race, perhaps even tripping over a hurdle. And when we realize what just happened, we need to get up and kick off as hard as we can and keep going forward until we cross that finish line. Sometimes it seems like God's presence is far from us, doesn't it? It seems like He's nowhere to be found. Or even perhaps in our own mind, we feel that God has left. And as we walk according to His scriptures and walk according to His will that He has for our lives, we can know that the Lord will never leave us. He may hide Himself from us. He may distance Himself to cause us to search Him out, as we see in the Song of Solomon. But He will never leave us. In Hebrews 13:5, it says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He will not leave us to the dogs if we're walking according to His will. You know? If we go off on our own tangent, yeah, we will have major consequence. We will find ourselves in a wolf's den, possibly. If we go off on our, it's like, well, this is what I think, you know, or and this is the way I want to go, and I'm not even going to bother searching out the will of God in this. But we can truly be thankful. It's like praying that, it seems like sometimes when you're praying, you close your eyes, and that's all you see is just this, and that's all you get is closed eyes and words coming out. But give thanks to the Lord. When it seems like His presence is slim to none, give thanks to the Lord, because He is there. You know, not one of us in this place is exempt from trouble. Not one of us is exempt from trials. They will come. And so many times when we have a trouble in our life or a trial that comes, what's the first thing that we do? It's like, oh, man, you know, we get all upset. And you know, sometimes even, you know, we may even just put the Bible away. It's like, I don't want anything to do with this. Or, you know, that's the opposite of what God is wanting us to do. Perhaps God is, you know, teaching us something. You know, it says He works all things together for good. In many parts of the world, there's a real danger to be a Christian because of real persecution. Here in the States, we think we're being persecuted when someone makes fun of us. Oh, you're a Christian? Oh, I heard of you guys. Oh, being persecuted so bad right now. Boo-hoo. Sorry, I shouldn't have done that. There's people around the world crying out to the Lord to preserve their life, because their life is literally on the line. Or they're being martyred. They're being killed. And so many times we're afraid to even say the name of Jesus here because someone may look at us and hurt our precious little feelings. In Matthew 5:11 through 12, it says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manners of evil against you falsely for my sake. It says you are blessed. And then it continues on in 12. It says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecute they the prophets which were before you. So what the Word of God is saying is, don't hang your head and, you know, create a little pity party for yourself and cower in a corner. But it says rejoice and be glad, exceedingly glad. Exceedingly. Have you ever been exceedingly glad before over something? Anyone that got married should be, yes, truly. Yes, we just went to a wedding yesterday. You know, I remember when I watched my wife come down this aisle here, and my mom stood there and she said, you should watch the video. I was like, mm-hmm. You know, I was doing a little bounce on my toes, you know, and exceedingly glad. I'm not saying when people are like making fun of you, it's like, they may call somebody for help for you. All right. I'm not saying that's what it's about, or like you can say whatever you want, but I am exceedingly glad. No, not doing that either. But, you know, just giving it back to the Lord. Lord, it's like, they see you and me. Thank you so much. They see you and me. Wow. Wow. It's like, isn't that what it's about? Isn't it about allowing the Lord to be seen through us? That even the world can see that? That the Christ in you? He's not in a little box. If people are persecuting you because of what you believe, he's not in a box. He's seen. Hallelujah. Thank God during the trials, because he's there. Amen? 1 Peter 4 and 12 and 13. Again, it says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you, as though some strange thing is upon you. Don't think it's strange. But rejoice, it says. Rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Don't think it's strange. Again, don't go off the crazy loon. You know, just keep it at a decency and an order, you know, and you get a trial. I mean, if the Lord wants you to jump up and down and praise him, do it, you know. But don't drag your chin or your forehead on the ground. What's wrong with you? The Lord's stretching me. Oh. It's like, no, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this great opportunity. Because it says that the trials that try me, you know, that don't think I'm strange, but that I'm partaking of your suffering, that you are working, that this will be worked together for good, that you will bring something out in this. Hallelujah. Nothing can overcome you. That's what it's about. Giving thanks to the Lord in all things in Christ Jesus. This is the will of God, is what Thessalonians says. This is the will of God, that we give thanks in all things. It is a rejoicing heart that will come through. It is a rejoicing heart that will go through the trials, that will withstand the persecution and come out and hit the mark and go through the finish line. It is a rejoicing heart, the heart that's full of thanksgiving. It is not the heart that has become bitter. It is not the heart that has taken all those trials and that persecution and has allowed its heart to become hard and bitter against their believer, their brothers and sisters in the Lord, and against the pastors and spiritual leaders. It is a heart that has learned to become dependent on God, and a heart that is filled with thanksgiving. That is the one that will pass the tests. Dependence on the Lord equals a thankful heart. Dependence on the Lord equals a thankful heart. And we want to be a dependent on God. A dependent on God. When I file my taxes, I file to dependents. What that means is my children are my responsibility. They're my problem. They're in my care. And I do everything in my power to feed them, to nurture them, to train them, to protect them. And we want to be God's dependent. God's dependent. Now there will come a time when they become independent and I'll have nothing to do with them. Just tease it. They will grow older. And yes, I won't be able to claim the taxes anymore on them. But, God's not like that. You know, he's not like, I'm only in it for the tax money. He's in it because he loves us. He's in it because he wants to take care of us. He wants to see us flourish. He wants to see us come up and rise up as from little babes to young men to grown adults in the Lord. He wants that. And the only way we are to spiritually grow up is when we come dependent on God. So become dependent and allow that thankful heart to be birthed in you. Let's pray.